Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. As we begin reading with the 12th verse, Hebrews 5, 12. Listen carefully to God's word. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Let us pray. Father God, once again we do look to you and ask the presence of your Holy Spirit, that he indeed would be our preacher and our teacher tonight, and that we would receive at his table spread those insights, those delicacies for the mind and for the spirit that will instruct us in the way and help us to live a faithful Christian life. We pray that our hearts would be drawn to you and that you would mold and remold us into the perfect image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or let us press on to maturity, or grow up as a Christian. Tonight, we're thinking about growing up into Christ, or growing up into a full Christian. Sometimes we are fond of asking little children and sometimes older young people, what do you want to be when you grow up? We are struck by all the varieties that many children suggest that they would like to be. Recently, I saw a news broadcast from Birmingham where a young boy wanted to be a garbage man. And it showed pictures, they had videos of this little 4 or 5 year old boy who was out helping the garbage men, and he would, you know, go with them to dump the cans into the back of the truck, and that was his life ambition. There was a survey taken not too many years ago that showed most children, whatever they want to do, they don't want to do what their father did. The reason for that is this, is that most children look at what their father did as a distraction, as something that takes their father away from them. Isn't that interesting? This evening, as I said, we're thinking about growing up. What do you want to be when you grow up as a Christian? Our text is 6:1, and the word that is used there, perfection, may also mean maturity. We think of maturity as a phenomenon that all children should experience. They ought to grow up, and we also ought to grow up into Christ. If a young child, and they are anxious as they grow up to hear us listen to them say their ABCs. Daddy, will you listen to me as I say my ABCs? Hey, I can count to 10. You want to hear me count to 10? And we patiently listen as they try to count to 10. Mary Margaret is almost at the point where she can make it now. She's up to 9, so we are encouraged. But if a child or a young person who is 25 years old says, "Hey, Daddy, listen to me say my ABCs," we think, well, you know, this child, there's something wrong with this child. Either they are very, very immature, or they're close to insane. Definitely ignorant. In the same way, the writer of Hebrews shows that there is a point at which we are to grow beyond saying our ABCs in the Christian life. But there are many, many believers in Christ. Are there some here tonight who, as far as Christianity is concerned, cannot do more than get beyond the ABCs? You are a Christian, and yet you really have never gotten beyond saying the ABCs. You may be 15, you may be 25, you may be 55. But you have never gotten beyond what the writer of Hebrews says, the elementary principles of Christ. And what we want to receive from this section that we've read tonight is encouragement and a perspective. And this is the encouragement and our first point. Let us grow beyond the ABCs of the Christian faith. You see, these Christians to whom the writer of Hebrews is talking had stopped growing. You know what happens if you stop growing? If a plant stops growing, it dies. For example, the writer says in verse 11, "You've become dull of hearing." And in verse 12 of chapter 5, he says, "You have come to need milk and not solid food. You've gone the wrong way." If you stop growing, and this is the principle, you begin to lose what you had. You can keep your tennis game going if you play tennis once a week, right? But if you want to develop your tennis game, then you've got to play twice a week, maybe even three times a week. If you learn the scales on the piano, you can probably play the scales, but if that's all that you learn, that's all you will ever be able to do. You'll just be playing the scales. And there are many, many Christians in churches everywhere, and maybe in this church, all they're doing is playing the scales in Christianity. The principle is this, and this is the point that the writer of Hebrews emphasizes: use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. There are two results in failure to grow as a Christian. And the first one is in the first part of verse 12 of chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. And that is, if you don't grow as a Christian, you fail to be able to teach. Paul said, be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is in you. If someone asks you why you hope in Christ, in Christianity, why you believe it, can we give them an answer? If they ask us a question regarding the Bible and regarding our own Christian lives, can we answer them? That is the question. We become what the writer says in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word. We become men and women. We become Christians who are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Yes, we know Jesus as our Savior, but we're basically unskilled people in the word of righteousness. The first result is that you can't teach, and the second result is in verse 14, where the writer of Hebrews says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, and this is it, to discern both good and evil. That if you grow up as a Christian, A, you'll be able to teach, and B, you'll be able to know the difference between good and evil. And I'm telling you, friends, today there is so much, not just from a moral standpoint, for us to distinguish between good and evil, but also the cults and all these religious groups and the philosophical and conceptual and the intellectual challenges of today, that Christianity is on the hot seat where we have to discern. There are other signs of immaturity. Though, if you go back to another book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, Paul is talking about Christians who were very immature. He said, you are carnal. And the reason he said that is because some of them said, well, I'm of Apollos. That is a great preacher back in those days. So one group in the church said, well, I am of Peter. And then the super spiritual Christians in the group said, well, we follow Jesus. And some say, well, we follow Paul. And the church had divided itself up into these little groups. And what Paul told them was that if your church is divided up into small groups, if you foster the party spirit, if you divide up into little cliques, that's a good indication that your spirituality is very immature and you need to grow up into Christ. And then there's another reason the Bible talks about, or another way that we may be immature, and it is one that Francis Schaeffer points out in his book, The Mark of the Christian, which he says that the mark of the Christian is love. If we're not growing in our love for each other, if we do not learn to demonstrate a caring, loving spirit to each other, we're spiritually immature. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is a sign of maturity. Let us grow beyond. That's what we're saying firstly. Grow beyond these elementary principles. Grow beyond the ABCs. Well, you say, but what are the ABCs of the Christian faith? What are those principles? Well, first, let me emphasize the fact that the text is clear. If you look again in chapter 6, verse 1, we are to leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ and go on to perfection. Now, mind you, and this is very important, it does not mean that we should disregard, that we should forget, or that we should deny the basic ABCs of the Christian faith. I could have said when I started out, instead of saying, let us go beyond the ABCs, I could have said, well, let us leave the ABCs or outgrow the ABCs. But in that sense, you and I never outgrow and we never leave the fundamentals of the faith. But we do grow beyond them. When I first started college and I took my first language, which was Latin, I had never taken a language before, and I had a Latin teacher who was an excellent teacher. He was new on the job, and I studied Latin, and I got all the grammar and the rules, normally made A's and B's in Latin. But then we started translating Cicero and some other Latin writings, and I began making B's and C's. And I went to my Latin teacher and I said, Dr. Buckley, what's going on? I said, man, look at those grades I made in grammar. But look over here at what I'm doing when we're translating. He said, what's happened is you obviously have missed something in the elementary principles of the rules. And I never really forgot that comment, because every language that I studied since then, I have tried to give special attention to learning the nitty-gritty details of the first rules and principles. But if I'm going to speak a language and if I'm going to know a language, what do we have to do? We have to get beyond those grammar, beyond that grammar, beyond those rules. We must know them, for everything else is built on it. And then we want to learn to use that language effectively. I mean, if you've been studying Spanish for 3 years and all you can do is parse verbs or conjugate verbs and tell me which is a noun and which is a pronoun, you haven't learned much in Spanish. All right? The point is this. In order to grow as a Christian, we must get beyond certain basic ABCs of the Christian faith. Now, what are those ABCs? And that's what I'm leading up to. The ABCs. The first is this, and it's pointed out in chapter 6, verse 1. There are three basic fundamentals that we are to know, that are to be the basis of our Christianity, that we are to grow beyond. And the first one is this. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, the basic ABC, the first one that we're to get beyond, is the idea of only talking about our salvation experience. There are some people, some Christians, who, when you ask them what Jesus Christ means to them, the only thing, God bless them, I know God loves them and I do too, but the only thing that they know that Christ means to them is when they were saved. And that's good and that's important, and they're ever eager and ready to share their testimony. But listen, walking with Christ is more than sharing the testimony of your conversion? What has Christ done? What have you learned at the feet of Jesus Christ today? What does He mean to you today? There is a second ABC, and that's in verse 2. It says, get beyond this, the writer of Hebrews says, of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands. What he means there are those who focus all their attention on church rituals. That is, those who major in the minors, the rites and the ceremonies of the church. People whose attention is primarily focused in baptism or the sacraments or the words that are used when we receive new members into the church. Should we do this? Should we say this? People who become just immersed in all of the ceremonies of the church, and they are infants in Christ still. And then there's a third one that the writer points out that we should get beyond, and that's in verse 2 as well. He says, of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. That is, those who are preoccupied with talking about the last times and the end judgment and what's going to happen. What I'm suggesting to you is that the Bible is not a smorgasbord. It is not a cafeteria where we stand and we go through the line and we pick, I like this and I don't like that, but I think I'll have a little bit of this. And we pick and choose what we want to read or believe based upon what we experienced in the past. The Bible is not like that, but God's Word is like a banquet table that is spread, and everything on the table is to be received and is necessary for you to taste in order for you and me to grow in our understanding. Quickly, what are the marks of a person who's growing beyond the ABCs? And I say growing, I-N-G, growing, not a person who has grown, because none of us are absolutely mature, and none of us have reached an apex where we can say, I have arrived and I don't need to grow anymore. There are no graduates in the school of Christ. The preacher, the teacher may have a PhD and an MDiv and a THM and a DMin and all the other initials after his name, but listen to me. There are no degrees from the school of Christ until we get to heaven. And that's the only degree that matters. A growing Christian continues to increase his understanding. You remember Alexander Pope? He said, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Perean spring. In other words, begin to grow in Christ and then go deeper into Christ. Don't just learn a little bit about Christianity, but go deep into the knowledge of Christianity. That's the first mark of the Christian. His understanding increases. And the second mark of a growing Christian, look back in chapter 5. The second mark of the growing Christian is in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teachers by this time. Those are not my words. You ought to be teacher. You ought to be a teacher. Did you hear me? You ought to be a teacher. Did you hear me? You ought to be a teacher by this time. By this time, you ought to be a teacher. A teacher you ought to be by this time. You see, the mark of true growth in Christ is that you know there comes a point when the responsibility is not the preacher's, not in Sunday school, not an elder's, but it includes all of us, but every one of us. If we're growing as a Christian, if we are growing as a Christian, we at some point must be a teacher. Now you say to me, but I don't have the gift of teaching. But I say to you that there are many different ways to teach. It's important. A growing Christian needs to teach biblical truth. One of the best ways to understand the Christian faith is to teach it. Every teacher has always said, I got more out of the course than they did. Right? Do you know that some of the world's greatest leaders in the church have themselves been changed by their own teaching? Do you know Martin Luther? You know what happened to him? He was teaching, and he started a revolution because God changed the teacher. But some other people, and you don't know that when you teach, you have the opportunity to touch some life, some individual, some person. There in London was Charles Spurgeon looking for answers, and he went into a Methodist chapel on one late Sunday night, snowing. Nobody else was in there. An uneducated layman was preaching, and all he could preach of was the blood of Christ cleanses you, and Spurgeon was converted. The layman was teaching. Maybe the only life that you will ever affect will be yours by your teaching. And you may not have the gift of teaching, but there are a lot of different ways to teach. Some of you could teach young people. Some of us could teach children. Some of us could teach small groups. Some of us could teach through music. Some of us could teach through writing. Do you know that the world, the Christian world, needs good Christian writers right now? Do you know that you can reach thousands and millions of people through print that you would never touch otherwise? Do you know that there are not any real good new Christian hymns being published in our era? Boy, is that a way to teach, to write some good Christian hymns? There are a lot of different ways to teach. And I hope that God will take every one of us here. And I know that we'll never be all at the same level of teaching, but every one of us here, and make us somehow to communicate through teaching. Because as Hebrews says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Take one area in your life and in this book as a teacher and become good at it. Become so good at it that you are the teacher in that area. You have a burden for it, and God will use you. Well, let's pray about that and think about it. Let's pray.